More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, it's all about me! Are you worn out from dealing with the selfish or even narcissistic people in your life? We're going to help you cope and find healing. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, it's all about me! Well,
that would be a fun show. I like you. That would be fun to just talk about you for an hour.
And you are a very good wife.
I didn't even try.
No, we're actually not talking about me. We're talking about selfish and narcissistic people who just kind of suck all the life and energy out of you. Is there somebody in your life who always seems to make everything about them? Who you feel like maybe you have to walk on eggshells around? Somebody who's happy to take whatever you want to give them, but never really gives you anything you need in return? Well, if you are tired of dealing with the selfish or outright narcissistic people in your life, give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We'll help you stop feeling used and set the stage for healing.
And we're also going to help you feel a little less crazy. Because the one thing about incredibly self-centered people, or as you said, Greg, outright narcissists, or people who have tendencies toward that, is they make us crazy. They are the crazy makers in our world. We are fine when they're not around. And suddenly you're with them and you just feel like you're in a surrealist painting. Everything is sort of tilted a little bit. And you walk away from time with them thinking, am I crazy? Why am I not seeing it from their point of view? Why do I feel so depleted? I thought we had a perfectly lovely conversation, but now I've gotten this email, text, or phone call telling me all the things that I did wrong, or all the ways I let them down or hurt them. They are people who don't live in a place of Christian service and love. There are people who, for whatever their reasons are, and there are a myriad of reasons for this kind of person being the way they are energy suckers, are people who always have to turn up the heat on a relationship in a way that serves whatever it is they want served. Either they just want the spotlight on them, they feed off the drama that they can create. So sometimes they'll just triangulate people, right? Let's make mom and dad or mom and my sibling or two people at work fight with each other and I'll just sit back and look like the sane one. It can be very disconcerting. And as I said, make us feel like we're the crazy ones. If you're dealing with that, where you feel like somebody in your life is stepping toward that, especially if it's somebody that you don't really want to get rid of in your life, a family member, a friend that you love, a person you have to work with so you can't get rid of them, and you need ways to cope and deal with it and come out of it feeling stronger, more sane, and more able to deal with it all, well, then we're here for you today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And we are talking, as Lisa said, about the selfish people and even the outright narcissistic people who kind of, are wearing you out and getting on your nerves and getting under your skin. Now, let me say this up front. You know, everybody has the potential to be a little selfish now and again. We
yeah,
all
it's
do.
Called sin.
And we are all sinners, and we can all be selfish. And so, you know, if there is somebody who's generally a perfectly fine person, but they've done something selfish that you don't know how to address, we can talk about that, too.
Yes.
But I did want to take a minute at the top of the show to kind of talk about the difference between that kind of garden variety selfishness that we often trip over in our relationships.
Which does need to be fixed and addressed. I want to emphasize that again.
Versus outright narcissism. Because sometimes it can be hard to tell them apart.
It can, and there's real gradations of this. You know, if you took paint and you started your paintbrush fully loaded at the top of the page and then just smeared it down to the bottom of the page till it was completely diluted and you could start to see the paper underneath, that's what selfishness and narcissism can be. So you might say, well, he's not like the psychotic narcissist I saw in this movie the other night.
Yeah.
But it can be really affecting your well-being because there are elements of that. So wherever this person in your life may be on that spectrum, we're here for you.
But here are some signs of somebody who tends to be more narcissistic. And you, when I'm reading these, you know, really consider whether these are habitual, not whether somebody does them once in a while, but whether they're habitual or not, and to what degree they're habitual. First of all, a sense of entitlement or superiority. Now, that one kind of stands out for what we think of when we think of a narcissist. But there's a flip on this, too. There's also what's called a victim narcissist. And that's somebody who has suffered genuinely, you know, at the hands of others, but then takes it so far where their pain is the only pain that matters. And they make everything about their pain to the degree that nobody else's rights or needs are valid because they're suffering or they've had to suffer. That is an unhealthy kind of narcissism as well. The second category or criteria, if you will, of a narcissist is they lack empathy. You know, and again, it's because it's not that narcissists really think so well of themselves, generally speaking. It's that they are very insecure and feeling a lot of pain inside. And so they don't have a lot of room to feel anything else for anybody else. So they do lack empathy. They tend to be fairly manipulative or controlling in their behavior. They know they're experts at getting other people to give them what they want or to make other people feel crazy enough that you just do what they say to just feel more in balance.
Just to make it stop, yeah. Just to feel like it's not going to get worse.
Narcissists tend to have a strong need for admiration or for constant affirmation. They have a tendency to focus on getting their own needs met, often ignoring the needs of others. They can exhibit higher levels of aggression because they're very sensitive. So if you offer anything that seems like a criticism, they'll often lash out in a very disproportionate way. And then finally, they have a difficult time taking feedback about their behavior, again, because they are very sensitive. They're very thin skins, again, because they carry a lot of wounds on the inside. But they just cover up for it by acting more puffed up and superior in their behavior and relationships. So those are some signs that you might be dealing with a narcissist. And again, as Lisa pointed out, there are different gradations of this. It's a whole spectrum from people who are occasionally selfish and a little narcissistic here and there, to maybe young adults who tend to be more narcissistic just by nature, to people who actually have narcissistic personality disorders. And it's all kind of, you know, it depends on how habitual these things really are and how central to the way these people view the world these criteria are. But now you have a sense of what we're really talking about on this
but
show.
You also have a sense of, okay, it doesn't matter exactly where someone lies on this continuum. It's what it makes me feel like. If it's making you feel disempowered, off kilter, like you just don't know what to do, and you feel diminished by it, well, then we're here to help you get new skills and God's grace today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. The number to call is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Of course, every day on More to Life, we look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And for those of you who aren't familiar with it, the Theology of the Body was St. John Paul's reflection on what it means to be a Christian disciple in the modern world and what it means to discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships.
And today, the theology of the body reminds us that each human being is a person who, although different from us in important ways, is always deserving of love and respect. In fact, the only appropriate response toward another person is working for their good, because that's what love means. Now, narcissists tend to make us feel like we don't matter unless we're helping them serve their agenda. And our needs and concerns and opinions don't matter unless they happen to agree with us. Well, likewise, if a narcissist works for our good, it's almost always accidental or in some way intentionally manipulative.
Well, so in other words, if a narcissist is already doing something that's important to them, and we happen to benefit too, well, that's okay for them. But generally speaking, a truly narcissistic person would be hard-pressed to leave their comfort zones to work for the good of anybody besides themselves. In fact, they'd probably find the idea pretty uncomfortable, if not outright offensive. Narcissists tend to see other people as objects, as means to their ends. And although Christians do have an obligation to be generous to others, we also have an obligation to protect our personhood and never allow other people to treat us like a thing. So we should never feel guilty for setting charitable, an emphasis on the word charitable, boundaries that remind the people around us, especially the more selfish and narcissistic people around us, that we aren't just extensions of their ego, that we are our own unique and unrepeatable persons who deserve to be heard, attended to, and loved. Setting those kinds of boundaries doesn't mean being mean. It doesn't mean cutting people off. It means creating a space where two people can find it safe to be themselves and interact with each other without stepping all over each other. Let's talk about how to do that, especially with the more selfish or narcissistic people that you might be having to deal with. The number, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we bring to you all of our relationships with those complicated people, especially the people who strike us as particularly selfish or even narcissistic. Help us to know how to respond to those offenses in loving ways that enable us to be our best selves, and challenge them to be their best selves. Help us to know how to set the appropriate boundaries that protect us from being used as things without returning offense for the offenses that we receive. Help us to know how to deal with those more selfish and narcissistic people, or even good people who behave selfishly once in a while. Help us to deal with them in ways that help us all remember to work for each other's good, and to defer with humility to your plan in our lives. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on Mortal Life, the show is titled, It's All About Me, as we talk about the selfish and narcissistic people in your life. Are you tired of dealing with those folks? Let us help you cope. Let us help you heal. Let us help you feel a little less crazy around them. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Hope, who's listening to EWTN Radio in North Carolina on Sirius XM 130.
Hi, Hope. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Oh, well, thank you for taking my call. Randomly got out, went to work late today and heard the topic, and I'm like, this is all about us right now. We adopted our son when he was 6 years old, and you know, first several years were fine, and then the narcissism started coming out. Of course, we didn't know that's what it was at the time. Helped him, tried to get him therapy, all of that. So he's been diagnosed with basically the entire alphabet. he just turned
as, 18. As one of his diagnoses, reactive attachment disorder, by any chance?
Surprisingly, no. We thought that might have been one, but we've asked, you know, a couple of different people, and they said no.
Okay. Well, go on.
And so he just graduated high school in December, thank goodness. and turned 18 a couple weeks ago. And it had been hard on all of us for the past several years. Everything you described as your as different categories is him.
Okay.
And so things came to blow this weekend, and my husband just said, fine, leave. You know, just leave and lock the door behind him. And, of course, there was yelling and all of that to go with it.
Hope, let me ask you a question before we go on. So any family can go through a time of really heightened emotion where somebody says to somebody else, the spouse or the kids, just go. I can't take it anymore. Back that up, and I know you have more questions to ask, but if you and your spouse had had time to talk through this in a logical, non-emotional way, would you two still think that the best course of action would have been, maybe in a less explosive way, but to move him out and have him experience a little bit of life? Or was this solely a reactionary experience?
We have been talking about this for a long time, and he's actually been part of the conversation about how, you know, keep trying to teach him how to save money so he can save up to get his own apartment and, you know, trying to put things in place. But he still doesn't understand you have to, even though you earn the money, you have to save it.
Okay.
That you can't just go spend it. So he was always broke. And, of course, we didn't like some of his friends, but, you know, we're not, we weren't, I don't consider us that controlling.
I understand. So where is he now?
I don't know.
So did you, he
might be with his bio parents.
Oh, so they're part of the picture. This was an open adoption?
It was not. He chose to try and find them this past summer.
And he was successful?
Yes.
And did that make the situation more explosive?
Yes. Yes.
So what do you want to have happen here, Hope? There's a lot going on. Right? So what can we do for you today?
I am just torn in. I know it's the best thing for him to go out and, you know, I hate the way it happened.
Yeah.
But there's no going back. I just don't know how to control the, I miss him so much, but I know he can't come back.
Okay. Well, look, I mean, I you've been through a lot over the years, and I'm going to, you know, I trust you that even though, you know, we all recognize this wasn't the best way to do it, this might have been the thing that needed to happen. I will say, you know, you mentioned that he's been in therapy. How much are you guys in any kind of family counseling, you and your husband, to really learn how to deal with him effectively?
We did for a while. We did a lot of family counseling,
sure.
You know, in-home family counseling and out-of-home family counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, it was almost as if every solution was, go ahead, walk on eggshells so he doesn't get angry.
Yeah, that's
what it seemed to sum up to be, and it's like, wait, no.
Yeah. I guess the other thing I guess I'm curious about, I mean, this is a very complicated case, all right? So, and you, when you say that this is not, this strikes me as classic attachment disorder.
I'm just going to say this. I'm concerned about the advice you got all the way along, because somebody who's seeing a narcissistic tendency in somebody as a therapist is never going to say walk on eggshells. In fact, they're the person you're supposed to go to that helps you not walk on eggshells and come up with real solutions. So I feel like things were missed.
Yeah. So, I mean, as much as you haven't had the best experience, the reality is this is a very complicated situation. It's blown up now. You're feeling completely out of sorts. It's going to be important to get some therapy for you and your husband to know how to move forward with this. Because, you know, you've made this decision. And again, I support that this may be the thing that needed to happen at this point for him to grow up. But, you know, you still want to have some kind of a relationship with him moving forward. And the danger is, as soon as you let him back in your life, all those old patterns are just going to come right back out again. because you don't really have good ways to set boundaries with him. And if the advice you've gotten in the past has been, oh, just walk around eggshells, well, that's terrible advice. So, you know, I want you to find somebody to work with that will teach you how to set the kind of boundaries that allow you to have a relationship with him, but allow you to also keep yourself safe. Now, what kind of relationship that's going to be, how close you can be, that's all stuff that's going to have to be worked out. But you're definitely not going to be able to sort this out on your own. So if there is somebody that you feel good working with that you felt out of all the folks you've been with before have given you better advice, I'd encourage you to reconnect with them. Otherwise, I'd encourage you to reach out to us at the Pastoral Solutions Institute at CatholicCounselors.com. But the reality is you do need a good family therapist who does, you know, work with folks with attachment issues. Because I really do think that that's obviously at the root of this. And so how to set those kinds of boundaries at this point that allow you to still have a relationship with him, but don't let you get sucked back into the manipulative and codependent sort of relationship that you've had to this point. So that is the best recommendation I can make to you at this point, Hope, other than to affirm the fact that at this stage of the game, based on the kind of behavior you're describing, that this is probably the right thing to do, although maybe not the best way to do it. So it's a matter of figuring out how can you backtrack a little bit here to reestablish contact, to have some kind of relationship, and move forward together to have a healthier relationship. With that, we have to go to break, but we are coming back to take more of your calls about dealing with those more selfish and narcissistic people in your life. The number is 877.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living. Effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
You remember the time I said on the air, go to confession, and when you're done, go out and have a big ice cream soda. Celebrate. And a man wrote to me, he says, you know, I hadn't gone to confession in 30 years. Do you mind if I went and had a pizza? I said, oh, have 20 pizzas.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled, It's All About Me, as we talk about the more selfish and even narcissistic people in your life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Coco, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Virginia.
Hi, Coco. What can we do for you?
Hello.
Hi, can you hear us? And we could need to hear you speak up a little bit, please.
Sure.
Thank you.
Can you hear me now?
Now I can. Thank you.
Thank you. I am just the end of my rope.
So it says you told our screener that you have a sibling that wants to buy your house and that every day he's coming up with different figures and is kind of critical of everything and really hard to deal with. Is that a fair start?
Right. Correct.
Okay. So what can we help you with?
I don't know how to deal with it. He is constantly critical of everything and everybody, and very cynical, very, very cynical.
So is the issue that you're struggling to know whether to sell your house or not, or is it the critical nature? What's your question?
He is very critical. physical nature. I mean, we try to go out to have lunch or something. He's criticizing the food, criticizing the service. Nobody knows how to do anything except him.
Okay.
And he's telling me constantly what how people at work are not doing their job and da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's just leave it. You know, that's not your problem.
Okay. So here's some good news and some bad news, all right? The bad news is they're you're not going to change him. The good news is you're not going to change him. Now, why do I say that's good news? Well, because it stops you from having to put all that emotional energy in trying to convince him that he should be something different than he is. And it frees you up to start dealing with who he really is. You know, so what that means is you're going to have to start looking, Coco, at setting boundaries that enable you to feel safe when you've interacted with him. How long can you put up with him? What contexts can you see him without letting this negativity and critical nature drive you crazy? You know, a healthy boundary is one that allows us to be around a person to the degree that we don't have to spend the rest of the day putting ourselves back together again. And you know how much you can take of him, and you know what contexts you can take him in. And it's okay to limit your relationship to those things, to say, look, I can be with him in this context, but not in that context. I can talk to him for 5 minutes on the phone, but not 10 minutes on the phone. And you limit your relationship to that. It's got to be up to you to define how much time you can spend with him being the way he is. Now, when he complains about that and says, how come you won't spend time with me? You can say, well, brother, because I love you, but unfortunately, you are so negative and so critical and just so mean and so exhausting to be around. I can't do more than this. So I would love to be in a closer relationship with you. But until you get help to deal with that, this is the best I can give you. Same goes for your house. You know, you're saying he comes up with different numbers every day. It's your house. If you want to sell it, you tell him what he needs to pay for it. And if he doesn't like that, he can go find another house. You know, that again, this is you are like many people feeling like you have to ask permission to set certain boundaries with him. It's up to you to step back in prayer and really ask yourself, how much can you deal with him? In what contexts can you deal with him and not have to put yourself back together the rest of the day? Limit your relationship to that for now. When he complains about it, let him know what it would take to open up more to him, just like you'd like to. We do talk about this more in God Help Me. These people are driving me nuts, making peace with difficult people. You can check it out at CatholicCounselors.com, and we'll be back right after this.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
No one sees a face of abortion, you know, in particular, because it's hidden by semantics, it's hidden by words, it's hidden by phrases, and, you know, and these grandiose claims of, oh, we're, you know, it's all about reproductive rights and the women, and women shouldn't be, you know, forced to carry a baby to term, especially if they were victims of rape or incest. So you put all of these ideas in people's heads that this is all about the good of a woman, but not looking at the people involved, the baby, and of course, you know, for example, a woman who we know from research, Dr. David Rieger has done a lot of research on this area, that women who do conceive through rape and carry the baby to term and either keep the child or place it up for adoption are much better off mentally. Mental health, they can deal with that. They can heal much more quickly because two wrongs definitely don't make a right.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I usually... I'm operating on the gifts of the Holy Spirit when I don't feel well, even when I'm annoyed, when I'm down and out. During my recovery from an automobile accident, immense numbers of people wrote to me and sent me emails, 50,000, and they told me how helpful they thought my talks on EWTN were to them. I'm delighted, but I want you to know I'm nobody's fool. The talks that were helpful, the sentences that were helpful, the phrases that were helpful came from the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the styrofoam packaging came from me. I did that. And styrofoam doesn't amount to very much.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi, this is Lisa Popcheck. Arguments between siblings are inevitable. We all want our children to develop strong bonds, but to do this, it's important to remember the healthiest sibling relationships begin from day one. and I do mean day one. Allow your older child to play some role in the new baby's birth. The status quo is to ship the older sibling off to some relative's house until the new baby comes home. But allowing your older child to participate in some way will solidify your older and younger child's place in the family and their relationship with one another. Whether that's cutting the cord, cuddling their sibling soon after birth, or helping give baby its first bath, we found that if the older child is involved in some way, the baby will be better received and you will lay a solid foundation for a healthy relationship. For more tips on how to foster healthy family life, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, the show is titled, It's All About Me, as we talk about dealing with those selfish and sometimes outright narcissistic people in our lives. Is there someone in your life who always seems to make everything about them, who you feel like you have to walk on eggshells around? Maybe who's happy to take whatever you want to give them, but never really gives you anything you need in return. Well, if you're tired of dealing with those folks, give us a call. We're going to help you stop feeling used, start setting the stage for healing. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Michelle, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Idaho on the EWTN app.
Hi, Michelle. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Good morning. Thank you.
How can we help you out?
My husband has those tendencies, and when he says hurtful things to me that can include raising his voice and cuss words, I don't know exactly what to do, especially if I've let it go. Last time it happened, most recently, I said, that's not okay to talk to me that way. And he didn't say anything, so I brought it up yesterday, 2 days later, hoping for an apology, and I didn't get it. And then it escalated into him being angry again. And maybe I can talk to him about paying for counseling, but if he even is opposed to that, in that moment when I am feeling that sanity, feeling that absolute loneliness.
Can I ask you, I'm sorry, you just said something that raised some concerns for me. You said you can talk to him about paying for counseling. I mean, I understand that it's expensive, but when you say that, it sounds like he controls all the money as well. Is that true?
Or did you just... when it would come to that, he, a little bit, yeah, he kind of doesn't.
Let's talk about a little bit, woman to woman here for a minute, Yvonne. If I decided, I'm so sorry, Michelle, if I decided that I needed anything, okay, now Greg and I make our financial decisions together, but if I said this is something that I need, no holds barred for me to be healthy, if I wrote a check for that, that would not make Greg escalate or belittle me make me feel concerned.
Do you have the ability to write a check for things you need?
Can you do that?
I do.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure, because there are some people who aren't, so I was concerned about it. Okay,
no, I am in a position where I can.
Okay.
That's
all right.
Not an area I'm concerned about.
So he's not controlling you that much at this point?
No, okay. He's not. No.
He would get angry, but he's not physically preventing you from taking... Okay, I gotcha.
That's very, very helpful. Thank you.
Right.
Thanks, Michelle.
Okay, yeah.
So you're asking kind of how to deal with this anger in general? Is that your question?
Yes, because last night when I was hoping to discuss it, it's a pattern of ours where I will bring something up and he will refuse to discuss it. He will refuse therapy for both of us and he will get angry. And I'm listening to these characteristics of narcissism, checking all these boxes. So what do I do in that moment when I'm losing my mind, feeling insanity?
Yeah, and well, here's the reason that he resists change so much. It's because it works for him. Now, I'm not saying that that's your fault. I'm saying that anybody in your position who, you know, kind of is a good-hearted person who wants to give other people the benefit of the doubt is easily manipulated by somebody who has your husband's characteristics, because your husband knows that if he just causes a big enough fuss, you know, other people won't want to, you know, confront him. They won't want to create even more drama. And because of that, nine times out of ten, he knows he's going to win. So you asking him to go to therapy or you even talking to him about changing, in his mind, means losing. He doesn't know how else to win and get his needs met. Of course, there are lots and lots of other ways that he could get his needs met. He doesn't know how to do it, though. So he's terrified that if you talk him out, or he allows anybody to talk him out of this approach, that he's always going to lose. I suspect he came by that naturally in the household that he grew up in, but that doesn't excuse his behavior. So he's going to have to relearn how to get his needs met and how to approach you in a more respectful way. Unfortunately, that's going to fall to you to teach him. Because, again, he's not going to want to change this on his own. He's got a strategy for getting his needs met, and he's terrified that if he gives it up, he's never going to get a need met ever again. So the only way through this is really through it. So what does that mean in the short term? Well, for example, with this last argument, you're not going to be able to go to him and say, honey, we need to talk about this. I need an apology. You're going to have to kind of hold the line that says until you get an apology, he's not a safe enough person to have any conversation with. I don't mean freeze him out. I don't mean, you know, do that kind of passive-aggressive, I'm not talking to you, la 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 thing. What I am saying, though, is that when he comes to you and says, what's for dinner, you say, you know, I'd love to talk to you about dinner, but until you can apologize for the way you treated me and sit down and talk with me about how we can handle situations like that better, I can't talk to you about dinner because you're not a safe person to have any conversation with. Now, that's going to enrage him. And he's going to, I can't believe you're bringing that up. Why won't you let that go? You call yourself a Christian. You forgive me? What's wrong with you? And you just broken record it, okay? I'm really sorry you feel that way. I'd be happy to talk about this with you, too. But until you're able to apologize for the way you spoke to me and sit down and talk through healthier ways to have that discussion in the future, you are not a safe person to have any conversation with. And then he storms off, right? And everything he's hoping that everything will settle down. He'll come back 2 hours later. Where are the kids? I would love to talk to you about where the kids are. But until you can apologize to me for the way you spoke to me and sit down and talk through some healthier ways we can handle disagreements like that, you're not a safe person to talk about the kids with. Well, I can't believe, and it's going to happen over, you're going to have to do this. I had a client who this was the only thing she said to her husband for a month, literally a month.
And that's going to take digging deep and getting some real grit and some support to keep it up.
She got to the place where she was convinced, like the next thing she was going to do is call a divorce attorney because she couldn't take it anymore. And he finally broke. And he came to her and said, I get it. And I'm sorry. And she almost fell over. This will work, but it takes a lot of work to get there. Now, which is why I'm going to follow up with this. You may need to seek some individual counseling first. Your husband isn't in a place where he's going to benefit from marital counseling at this point. In order for him to benefit from marital counseling, he needs to recognize that his approach isn't going to work anymore. So the first step in marital counseling is going to be working with you to get you strong enough to show him that this approach isn't going to work anymore, that you're not giving up on him, that you still love him, but this approach is not going to work anymore because you're not going to put up with it. Once you've established that you can be strong enough to stand up to this, then he'll be willing to come to the table and work with you. So the first step, you know, is doing what I'm suggesting, but if you find that you're not strong enough to do it, or that the idea even just terrifies you to do it, which I completely understand, then getting individual counseling for yourself to get strong enough to do this will get him to the table and help you both benefit from marital counseling. But that's what it's going to take.
I want to add one thing to this. I really do, Michelle. There's, on top of the terror of being able to do this, because he has really etched a huge trench in your behaviors and your mind and your well-being by behaving this way for so long, you're also probably going to question if this is the right thing for a Christian wife to do. You know, is being this stalwart a Christian female thing that's okay? Because a lot of us are taught that it's not. But let's go back to the basic premise that we discussed earlier in the show. You're in a sacramental relationship with this person. To love someone, especially someone we have made promises to love, is to work for their good. So you have promised in your vows to work for his ultimate good. He's consistently falling into sin, demeaning himself and demeaning you. That is sinful behavior. So you are within your rights of the sacrament of your marriage and your baptismal promises to be the person who calls him to grow, to move away from these very, very dangerous behaviors for his soul and for your well-being and for the sanctity of your marriage. So go with God on this and know that you're doing the work that God asked you to do by bringing you, blessing the sacrament that you're in and letting you live out your baptismal promises of being, priest, prophet, and royal in this situation. You can do this. You may need assistance so that you can get the right skills and have somebody supporting you when it gets shaky. But I know that you can do this.
If you feel up to it at all, start doing this now. I think you're going to need support either way long term, but start with this now, especially with this last argument. But open yourself up to the possibility of getting that individual support so that you can be strong enough to show him that this isn't going to work anymore. But just keep in mind, the reason he's doing this is because he genuinely doesn't believe that there's any other way that he'll get his needs met. That if he's soft at all, if he's vulnerable at all, he's going to get walked over. And again, I suspect he learned that from his family of origin. That you could acknowledge that to him even and say, I'm not your dad who abused you or your mom who always ran over you or whatever. Stop treating me that way. I love you too much to let you keep treating me like them. I mean, if that's relevant, you can bring that out. It's touchy, but you can do it. But I still think you're going to need to get that support to be strong enough to challenge him on this and then get him to the table to do marriage counseling. The two resources I'd recommend to you at this point, my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's all about how and why to set these kinds of boundaries that don't cut people off but protect you from the drama while leaving the door open for healing. The other resource is How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, which will give you a sense of the 8 habits that healthy couples practice and how you guys can start building those into your relationship even now. That's God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, and How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. Both of those are available at CatholicCounselors.com, as well as information on the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telecounseling practice, where you can work with a faithful professional Catholic counselor if you'd like to get the help from us. All right, Michelle, thank you so much for the call. There really is hope for these relationships. We actually do a tremendous amount of work in this area. You'd be surprised. But we're able to do very good work as well. So there's a lot of hope here. You have to be strong enough to show them that this approach won't work. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We're talking about how to deal with the selfish and narcissistic people in your life. If you are worn down from walking on eggshells or feeling sucked dry from people who will take and take and take but never give you what you need, we're here to help. 877-573-7825. And as we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from James, chapter 4, verse 6.
God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
As I was praying on this scripture today in preparation for the show, it occurred to me that if God sets boundaries with narcissistic people,
Why can't we? We're created in His image and likeness. I like that, Greg.
God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to people like Michelle, who are in a situation where they are dealing with a proud person, to help take that proud person off of their throne.
Well, what I love about this is, I love what you're saying, because we hadn't discussed that at all, about what you prayed through before the show. But what also strikes me is God opposes the proud. He doesn't toss them into the dirt, a ditch on the side of the road. He doesn't say, I'll have nothing to do with you. He opposes the proud. In other words, he's like, nope, we've got some boundaries. This is not how you're supposed to behave. He's always calling to us to give up vice and move to virtue.
So he's the wall that the proud keep running into.
But the wall that says, come through my door, through the virtue of humility, through the grace that I'm giving you. Whatever that is he's saying to us, it's always the invitation to do better. It's always the invitation to love more and to give up our overinflated sense of self, because he will meet us in our needs. As we've talked, many of the callers today are dealing with people with narcissistic tendencies that have them because they feel so bad about themselves, and this is their horrible way of trying to get their needs met. But God can heal all of that. But we can stand, as you said, with God in the idea of, nope, we've got to oppose this behavior and try to call out better behavior and also stand for our own dignity as human beings and created in the image and likeness of God. So important things to remember today. I'm going to read that one more time in case you're like saying, well, what do they say and where do I find that? This is in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 6. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls about dealing with the selfish and narcissistic people in your life. Stick around for more after the break.
Location, location, location. These are the three most important factors in real estate. The same might be said for colleges. Trudging through snow to get to an 8 a.m. statistics class is a much different experience than breezing by a palm tree to the raucous applause of a laughing gull. With the average temperature of 84 degrees and wetland nature as your backdrop, it's no wonder students tend to stay once they visit our campus. Ave Maria University, your future location, location, location. Visit avemaria.edu. More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 75% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Do you wish you could have discussions about difficult topics with your adult children? If so, don't worry. You're not alone. Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck. And our new book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, can help you draw closer to your adult children and help guide them on the path to more faithful and meaningful lives.
You can get our latest book and all of our other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria mutual funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria mutual funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. Today our show is titled, It's All About Me, as we talk about the selfish and narcissistic people in our lives. If there is someone who is sucking you dry by taking and taking and taking, or making you walk on eggshells all the time without really giving you back anything that would help you have a real relationship with them, we are here to help. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Christina, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Virginia on Sirius XM 130.
Hi, Christina. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hello to you both. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just as I have a 85-year-old dad who we've lost my mom recently, and she was his care, well, she did everything for him, in other words. So now mm-hmm. he's by himself. He's always been kind of all about me, me, me. There's nothing about anybody else but him. And so now my brothers and I are trying to be respectful of him, take care of him, but not kill him. I know. Don't take that seriously.
Oh, Christina, God bless you.
I knew what you meant, bless your heart. Yeah.
No, we absolutely when you meant it. I appreciate the intensity that that expression conveys in terms of how torturous this is for you and your siblings. This okay. is torturous. Yeah. And I want to say, clearly for our other listeners who might be saying, well, he's 85 and you just have... No, what I'm hearing you say is this is a lifelong pattern and it's far
and your mom
worse
enabled
now.
It.
And now that he doesn't have a go-to person in your mom who's just going to do everything for him, and make him feel great. It's now all up to you, and you know it's toxic. So the question is, what do you guys do about it now, right?
Well, how can we help you out today? So what are you looking for exactly?
I guess I'm just looking for just a sounding board, maybe, I don't know, but just something to, I heard your book from the previous caller. Maybe just, you know, I'm a Christian. I know I'm supposed to take care of him and love my dad, but he's crazy. I mean,
yeah, no, I get it.
Just him.
So let's talk about what honoring your father and mother really means in this context. Okay. So, you know, honoring your father and mother does not mean subjecting yourself to abusive behavior or truly pathologically unhealthy behavior. I would say that at the very least, it means making sure that his physical, you know, and medical needs are being met, that he's safe, that he's getting the medical attention that he needs, that he's, you know, able to you know, eat and you know, and do all the things that keep him safe. You have an obligation to make sure that that happens. You don't have to be the person that does it for him. You just have an obligation to make sure it happens. Now, in terms of any other relationship beyond that, that's really up to how safe he is to be around. And what I mean by that, again, is how much time can you be around him and not have to spend the rest of the day putting yourself back together? You know, like I was sharing with the previous caller, you know, I realize that he's tough. But, you know, we want to try to preserve as much of the relationship as we reasonably can and then move forward from that point. So, you know, if you can handle a 5-minute phone call with him, but not a 10-minute phone call, limit your relationship to the 5-minute call. If you can deal with him in a restaurant, because he'll behave himself there, but not in his house, limit your relationship to meeting in public places. If you can, you know, if you can deal with him when you're talking about these topics, but not those topics, make sure that as soon as those topics come off, you either change the subject or get out of there. So you really kind of prayerfully look at how much time and at what contexts can you be in relationship with him without feeling like you got to put yourself back together the rest of the day. You're not going to be able to convince him to stop just by talking to him about it, and you're not going to be able to make him happy, because there are some people whose love language is making other people miserable. What I mean by that...
Well, sure, because the more they make you miserable and get your attention, the more you feed their need for attention.
The more you try to make them happy.
Yeah.
So his love language is, I'm making you miserable, because if I make you miserable,
make
then you work harder to try to please me.
If I don't make you miserable, you might ignore me, or I might have to leave my comfort zone and do something to make you happy, and that won't get me the fulfillment I need in whatever space and wounding I have, and therefore the misery persists.
You know, and if Dad, you know, if you set those boundaries and Dad complains about it, you can say, Dad, I'd love to have a better relationship with you, but you're so difficult to deal with that this is what I can give you. If you're willing to work with me in counseling to maybe figure out some better ways, I'd be happy. I would love to have a better relationship with you. But if you're not willing to do those things, or you're not willing to change, and this is the best you can do, then this is the best I can give you. And you limit your relationship to that, making sure that he's safe and his physical needs are cared for, his medical needs are cared for, whether it's you or somebody else who does it. But then looking at whatever other relationship you can have with him based on how safe it is to build that relationship with him. So, and again, as you mentioned, we do talk about this more in the book that I referred another caller to. God help me, these people are driving me nuts, making peace with difficult people. Now, you know, it's going to feel a little mean to do this because it's going to make you feel like you're being mean. But let me just reassert something that Lisa said earlier. Our job is to work for other people's ultimate good. Okay. And at the very least, working for somebody's ultimate good means not allowing them to act like a jerk around you. Okay. So if your dad is, you know, being a soul-sucking, selfish, kind of monster in some ways, even at 85, you know, he has a chance to repent if somebody actually stands up to him and sets some boundaries.
Sometimes we're given a wealth of years so we have more time to repent in God's mercy.
You know, and so setting these boundaries with him actually gives him a chance to repent before he goes to God, and God says to him, why did you drive everybody that I gave you away? You know, I mean, that I don't want him to have to face that. So here's a chance for you to set those boundaries with him that give him a chance to confront how he's been behaving for all of his life before he has to confront that before God. So, you know, I hope that will empower you to set some of these boundaries. Yes, to take care of yourself, but ultimately to really work for his good. Because this is not, I would be horrified if, as a father, I went to my Heavenly Father, and he called me out on treating my wife and my kids the way you describe your father treating his wife and you guys.
And so you're working for both of your good. It's a both and. It's not selfish on your part. You and your siblings actively working for his good in the way that Greg has enumerated here will work for your good and well-being as well, and that's a win-win.
So, Christina, thank you so much for the call. Again, we do describe this process in more detail in God Help Me. These people are driving me nuts, making peace with difficult people. If you need more support, check that out. You can pick it up at CatholicCounselors.com. Folks, the reality is dealing with selfish and even narcissistic people is kind of part of our everyday experience. Honestly, we had every single line open, or every single line full on today's show with folks who are calling because these folks are just epidemic. Because sin is epidemic, and we all can be selfish from time to time, and sometimes we build our lives around it. If you're dealing with somebody who is selfish or narcissistic, don't go it alone. Get additional support to get the specific tools you need to deal with those folks. And if you need counseling, get that too. You can learn more about both of those resources at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can check out all the books that we recommended on the show today, and also learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telecounseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com and then get out there and celebrate the life that God has for you, because with His grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.